My name is Irene. At the time, my name was Irene Kosuk. I started working in Buchan's Pottery in 1968, and I worked there for 4 years. I had left school a few months beforehand and didn't really know what I wanted to do at that period of time. So I lived on a farm near Humby, away up in the hills. It was quite difficult for me to be in touch with what was happening. But we got the daily papers. I don't know which paper it was, but there was a tiny little advert in this paper, which was for decorators for Buchan's Pottery in Portobello. I think it was probably my mum who pointed it out to me. I think she was probably very keen that I started earning some money. At that point, I think my dad drove myself and my mum down to Portobello, and I was given a very, very short interview where I was basically asked to copy a picture of a thistle onto a cup. And after about 5 minutes, I was told that I had the job. So I was very, very pleased about that. And after that, I started work at the pottery. I used to travel because we lived about 15 miles outside of Portobello, away up in the hills. No public transport. So we did have a very beautiful red Triumph Herald estate car. And I had actually passed my driving test first time at the age of 17. So at least I was able to drive to work in the mornings. So I used to drive every day to Portobello. And the impression at that time of the pottery was walking through a cobbled courtyard and a very, very old building, which really looked as if it had been there since Victorian days. It was very, very old. And as you walked into it, it did really look quite decrepit. It looked like old wood, and there were definitely lots of cobwebs, and, you know, it had been there forever. And as you walked in, you walked past the kilns on the right-hand side. So there were a very kind of welcoming presence as you went into the pottery, to the decorator's shop. And the decorator's shop, when you walked in, there were two separate rooms, but you walked through the first one to the one that I worked in, which was the second room at the top. And when you walked in, there were benches on either side, long kind of trestle tables. And there were spaces where the people who came and delivered the pottery on just big, big, long boards, they just slid the boards on in front of you, and then you worked your way through all the pottery that was on the board. So you would get a board which just had cups on it, and a board which had plates on it, or a board just with mugs, or rather boringly saucers, because saucers you just had to do a line. But so everybody was full of anticipation when they were getting their particular delivery, because you didn't know what you were going to get. So there'd be kind of groans or cheers, you know, if you were given something that you particularly enjoyed doing. And my main memory of the place was that it was the people who really made the pottery, because, the decorators, because we became very close, some of us. It depended on who you were working with and, you know, which room you were in as to how well you got to know people. But if you were sitting at one of the big sort of trestle tables with three other people, you got to know them pretty well. Some of these people became, you know, friends. One in particular, Heather, I've known since those days, and we've been in touch constantly. Some of the relationships lasted a much shorter time, because people went off after the pottery closed, people went and did their own thing, or people got married and moved away. But it was a very happy time where we got to know each other very well. With everything else going on in the world, it was like a very secure little enclave. You just felt that it was a very special place to be. So my time there was very happy and very content. And I was quite sad when the pottery decided to close and, you know, that it decided to move away. But that was also a very good thing, because it kind of gave me a kick up the backside to actually go and do something, you know, else with my life. And I did become a primary school teacher after that. One or two of my other memories of the place was we were sitting there, and next to us was a Ferris wheel, because there was actually a fairground. So we were in this building, and there was a little courtyard and then a very high wall. So you were aware of the sounds from the fairground, but you could see the top of the Ferris wheel coming over. And so, you know, occasionally, you know, people would wave over and you would, you know, wave back. But yes, it was just a very, very nice place to work. The other thing about it was that I think for myself, when I worked there, my painting was, I enjoyed the controlled way that I actually painted the thistles. And actually now, if I close my eyes, I can still do it. So I've never forgotten how to actually, you know, paint the thistles on the pots. So, you know, I always sort of started with the ball of the thistle, and then did the sort of cross hatching on the ball. And then I would do the head of the thistle, and then the stalk of the thistle, always, you know, with the curve. And then the two curved main stems of the leaves. And then I really enjoyed sort of using the thinness and the thickness of the brush to do the actual leaves, you know, to give a little bit of definition to the actual line. And after that, I would do the heather, and then after that, the harebells. It was just one colour for outlines. And then we had to remember, because all of the glazes actually looked very similar. So I'm not quite sure how I arranged it, but I presume that I had them in a particular arrangement in front of me, so that I, you know, knew which colour was the purple for the head of the thistle, and which was the green for the leaves, etc., and the blue for the harebells and so on. Yeah, after that, it was a matter of colouring in the thistle. So I always did the ball of the thistle, the stems and the leaves, and then after that, the head of the thistle, and then the harebells and the little dots of the purple heather. And after that, oh, there was always a little bit of green at the bottom as well. The other thing was, if you had a plate, I really enjoyed getting big plates, because then the shape of the thistle was very, very different. And it had, I think it just had a more attractive sort of a curve to it. So I really used to enjoy doing that. And then you would get very nervous, because you would have to do the line around the edge of the plate. So you would put it on the wheel, and you would have to support your arm and support the actual brush. And then you would spin the wheel, and you had to hold your hand really steady in order to get the straight line going round the edge of the plate. So, you know, you didn't dare at that point laugh or, you know, or giggle or talk to anybody, because, you know, that would have been a disaster. You would have ended up with a very wobbly line, and, you know, it would probably have had to got thrown out at that point. I really enjoyed having this kind of controlled shape. I enjoyed the design of it, and you know, I enjoyed the look of it, and I was, you know, I was proud of the ones that I actually produced. The kind of legacy of that, I think, is that as I've got older, having gone to art classes, although I didn't, because I was a primary school teacher, there was always an element of using art with children. But for myself, as I've got older, I think what I've tried to do is lose that element of control. So I've been going to an art class for the last few years where I've been trying very hard to get bigger and bolder and just actually enjoy the experience, enjoy the journey of playing with paint rather than looking at, you know, the finished result, which is, you know, obviously what you had to do when you worked in the pottery, when you were producing something that was then going to go on to be sold. The other legacy is just the friendships that have endured. And through this process now of working with Nikki, I have met people that I haven't seen for 50 years, 30 years, but it's absolutely wonderful to meet them again and to talk over our memories, because all of our memories are slightly different in that certain aspects of our days there are more important to some of us than others. So we all highlight something different, which is very interesting for us as personalities, but also it reminds us of other aspects of our time there that we might have forgotten. I think I'd just like to finish by saying that although I made lots of friends then, because a lot of us were very young and were going out together, we're going out to discos and, you know, just going out and enjoying ourselves. There were a lot of older women who weren't there as well. And, you know, like Vera and Kitty. And these also became very important people in our lives. And just through our discussions with them and their influence, I mean, that was very, very special. It was an interesting mix of women of all different ages and from all different backgrounds. We had a very, very strong connection, all of us, which was very special. And that memory really has endured of all the other memories of the pottery.